You know, you have a legacy to leave. If you don't have any money, you have a life that you can live. Let me say it this way. You can live a life that's godly and holy, and you will leave a legacy unto your kids that they will remember all the days of their lives. I just felt that in my spirit. It's not about money leaving behind. It's not about property or land. It's not about cars or jewelry. That we need to live a godful life unto our children, that they will live a life that is godly themselves. Okay. Amen. I guess holiness still ain't right in the church, huh? Hallelujah. But if we live a godly life, we can leave a legacy for generations. And that's what the Bible says, that we should leave an inheritance for four generations. And it's not about the wealth. Because if you live godly and your kids see that example lived out before them, then they too will live godly. And then it'll be easy for them to obtain money, wealth, houses, cars, and all of those things. And then when they do obtain those things won't hold them, but they'll hold those things. Okay. Well, bless the Lord. We'll get back to the good old-fashioned Pentecostal church and shout and dance and clap our hands. Come on up here, Bonnie, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. She coming. Amen, my classmate. God bless you. Come on up, all the way up. I'm going to have you introduce your hubby. Amen. This is Sister Bonnie. Amen. I know, huh? Hallelujah. Wave to Bonnie, y'all. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. And thank you to Pastor Reshort and his lovely wife for having us here today. I so much enjoyed the praise and worship.
Amen.
Oh, God. The Holy Spirit was definitely in here.
Praise God.
It was an awesome experience, and thank you all again for having us. Well, I'm going to introduce my husband, Elder Robert Donaldson. Robert has a book out that's been on the market since last year. It's called Still Standing. It's a very short, inspiring read to help anybody that's going through adversity in life. Especially if you know someone that's going through cancer or any type of illness or just anything in general that someone is going through. It's a very short, inspiring read. Robert has been through so much, and I look at him as a mighty man of valor.
Come
because
on.
He survived so much, and I look up to him because God has sustained his life through two major illnesses, and so it was nobody but God, and we just give God all the praise, all the glory, and all of the honor. So if you can, just please, the book is only $10, Still Standing. We accept credit cards, cash, or whatever. It's also available on Amazon.com, but it's a very inspiring read. I'm sure you will enjoy it. So
Amen.
Thank y'all so much again for having us, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
You guys are doing great things here.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you would, clap your hands for Elder Robert Donaldson. Amen. Is he a singer? No. Singer?
No.
Oh, okay. What's up, man?
Thank you. Thank you.
Come on up, man. Have your way. I said, can I go sit down now?
Amen. Amen. Thank God for buying it. Come on, help me thank God for buying it. I know she was so nervous. She wasn't expecting to do that. Amen. Listen, I won't be long. I won't be long at all today. I'm ready to hear the word, and I echo what Bonnie said. I enjoyed the praise and worship. Listen, very briefly, I'm excited. I'm so excited because of, first of all, we have this book out, and you never know what you're going to end up doing in life. You never know what you're going to end up doing in life. I'll make it brief. I grew up there in Scotlandville, and I was, you know, one of those kids that wanted to just get into all kind of crazy stuff all the time. I kept my parents praying. Let me put it like that. Kept them praying. So throughout this book, it's a lot of different things that you can pull from. First off, this is what happened. 13 years old, I was always fascinated with the guns and the sound of guns and all of this crazy stuff. And And so a friend of mine, at least I thought he was a friend until everything went down, he found a box of bullets. And he said, man, I think we can tape one of these bullets on front of a pellet gun and make it shoot. I'm like, man, that ain't going to work. Sure enough, he did it and then shot. And so I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Let's do it again. So we did it for 2 days. 2 days. He's stealing his grandfather's bullets. He didn't know it. So on that next evening, I rode my 10-speed around the corner. You know, back then your parents would give you a street. You could go to that street, but don't go to the next one. But I went to the way, you know, further than they wanted me to go. And so I'm back there, and man, we loaded it up again. I'm standing behind him, and he shoots at a telephone pole. And to this day, I don't know what happened. But all of a sudden, the bullet hit me in the chest. And there I am, 13 years old, white T-shirt on, hole in my chest, freaking out, bleeding all over the place, jump on my 10-speed, head home. But thank God, the bullet actually went in my pectoral muscle and hit my rib and stopped. And we got through that. We got through that. I know that that sounds like that's the craziest thing that could ever happen to me right there. At least that's what I thought. But then here we go again. I'm a senior in high school playing for Southern Lab. One game from the Superdome, have this little pain in my back. You know, you're playing sports, basketball, football. Something's always going to be hurting you, right? But this pain just kept getting worse and worse, and to the point where it hurting so bad it just made you want to throw up. You didn't know whether to sleep in the bed, or I would get on the floor. I would get back in the bed. And so we finally go to the bone and joint clinic there to get checked out. And they thought I got hit in the spleen. So they rushed me to the hospital, said, we're going to have to get a CAT scan. So there I am, 17 years old, in this big CAT scan machine, all of this stuff going on. Come to find out, I had testicular cancer, 17 years old. Not only did I have a mass in my side, the side of a grapefruit, but it had spread to both lungs. So there I am, all of a sudden, all this stuff happened, flying to MD Anderson in Houston, Texas. Cancer spread to both lungs. Scholarship offers, everybody coming to see me play. And all of a sudden, I go from 195 pounds of solid muscles to 140 pounds, somebody helping me walk down the hall in a matter of weeks. But somebody say, but God, but God. So we go through all of this different stuff, and they cut me from my up here all the way down below my belly button, open me up, and thank God the chemotherapy did its job. No more cancer. No more cancer. Somebody say, God is a healer. God is a healer. So listen, I'm thinking, man, this is it. Nothing else bad could ever happen to me. I've been through enough. I'm going to cruise, put this thing on cruise control, cruise right on through life, right? Get married to Bonnie. Best thing ever happened to her, boy. Best thing ever happened to me. But listen, so everything's going good. We bought our first home, bought an older home, fixed it up, two decent cars, nice yard. You know, I was one of them guys that had to have my lawn perfect and all that different stuff. And life, just living life, planning a family and all this different stuff. Then all of a sudden, one night, I just get a little scratchy throat. And I'm wondering, you know, hey, I guess I'm, you know, coming down with a cold. I was refueling aircraft at the time, so I worked outside. It was wintertime, January, and I'm thinking nothing of it. So, but that sore throat just kept getting worse and worse. And I'm like, man. So Bonnie finally say, I think we need to go to the hospital. You know us men, man, we have to be half dead. We don't want to go to the hospital for nothing. You know, I think it'll be okay. But finally, you know, it kept getting worse and worse. And so off to the hospital we go. So the doctor looks at me and runs a few tests, say, I think you have the flu. You know, send me home. The next day, I just kept getting worse and worse and weaker and weaker. And I'm thinking like, boy, this flu is really doing me in. So by the next night, something weird, I'll speed this up, something weird started to happen. I was laying in the bed and had chills and all, you know, and I said, hey, can you give me a pair of warm-ups? So, you know, we really stubborn. I'm laying in the bed with a full warm-up suit on, under the cover, and still freezing and shaking. And then I'm like, wow, you know, Advil wasn't working, none of that different stuff. So something weird started to happen. my feet started to actually burn. Like somebody was holding a cigarette lighter to him. I'm like, man, this is really weird. So she said, can you get up? We need to go back to the hospital. We'll go to a different hospital this time. So I go to get up, and all of a sudden, I go to push off, and I can't stand. Now, I go from working and had a lawn service on the side, a guy that worked out and jogged all the time, all this different stuff, to not being able to stand. So my brother and my dad rushed over and got under both shoulders and pretty much dragged me to the car, and off to the hospital we go. So I get in the ER, and you know, all these people running around and all this different stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I must be pretty sick, you know. So doctors running in and out, nurses, all this different stuff. Then all of a sudden, something really happened that really freaked me out. All of a sudden, I couldn't breathe. That got my attention. So from then on, I just kind of pass out. And they tell me, I woke up about a couple weeks later and in the ER with all these different tubes and all this different stuff going on. And I'm still wondering what in the world is going on. So come to find out, the doctors didn't even know what I had. They're coming up with all kind of stuff. I think it's lupus. I think it's this. I think it's that. And all of a sudden, they roll in this big machine. And I say, what is that? They say, that's for dialysis. Your kidneys are not working. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I'm 30. Well, how is all this happening? I'm 30. And then the news just kept getting worse and worse. I don't want to tell you everything, but the news kept getting worse and worse. This doctor would come in, that doctor would come in, and they would put this little machine on my feet, and they say you're supposed to hear a swoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I'm like, what is that for? They say that's when you have circulation to your feet. You can hear the blood pumping through your arteries. But when they would put the machine on my feet, so they did surgery, cut both legs open, went in and did surgery and came back, and they put the machine on, and whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. I said, oh boy, there it is. I'll be home in a few days. Come back the next morning, put the little machine on my feet. So to make a long story short, they started talking about amputation. I'm like, what are you talking about? Amputation? Man, I'm 30 years old. There's no way I could possibly have my legs amputated. So I go through all of these specialists after specialists, nothing they could do. So they fly me to Covington, Louisiana in the hospital, AirMed. Never think you'll ever go through something like that. My wife and I'm just laying there looking like, man, we're actually in an air ambulance. So they fly me to this world-renowned specialist. He walks in, takes one look at my feet. My feet are the same color as this podium and just as hard. He says, son, nothing I could do with that. So the next day, before I could talk myself out of it, had both legs amputated below the knee. Yes, I'm standing here with two prosthetic legs. Somebody tell me what God can't do. A week later, they amputate six fingers. I said all of this to tell you this. Listen, it doesn't matter what you go through in life. God can overcome a gunshot. God can overcome cancer. God can overcome amputations. So I just stopped by to encourage you. We've been traveling all over the place, trying to tell everybody we can, God is still able. Listen, we go into detail in this book, and there's another book coming that Bonnie and I, we're going to write this one together. We're going to talk about afterwards, how you recover afterwards. But listen, if you can stop by the table, only $10 today, and I promise you, whatever you go through in life, God says in his word that I have already overcome it. Come on, look at somebody and say, we're still standing, still standing.
Standing.
Come on, thank Amen. You, Pastor.
Appreciate it. Amen. Appreciate it. Thank you for sharing your testimony. Amen. Still standing. Why? Because God is still able. He is still able to heal. He's the same yesterday, today, and y'all missed that last boy. He's the same for, is this my copy? Lord. Now, mine is not signed. Okay, all right. Right there. KC, come get this. Put this in the safe for me so nobody won't take my book. Go out and support him after service on today. Just $10. You can pick it up on Amazon. However, it's cheaper to buy it today. I want everybody to pick up a copy and also a copy to give away. $20 to bless somebody you know that is going through. Amen. It'll be a blessing unto them. So make sure you pick up a copy. Stop by. Support his ministry as he. Because that's a ministry, y'all. Somebody need to be ministered to a word of encouragement. It's the spirit of Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. It's to encourage somebody when they're going through. The Bible says it this way, comfort those with the same comfort of that which you were comforted with. So when you're going through and you need comfort, then you find somebody else who's going through. They may need some comfort. Amen. Okay. It's still a hard road to plow today. Amen. We're going to get through it, though. Let's go to the word. Time to get to work. Amen. As we get ready for the word of God today, I'm excited for this word. We're still inside of Kingdom Moves. Amen. Kingdom Moves. Somebody shout Kingdom Moves. Yeah, we're still making kingdom moves for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I don't know if I have connectivity. There we go. Amen. We're making kingdom moves for the kingdom of God. We taught you on a couple weeks back, we taught you about how to be a curse breaker in your life, breaking the spirit of barrenness. One thing you have to know first, you have to remember who you are. To break the curse off your life, you have to know and remember who you are. Never allow the devil to tell you that you're something that God has said that you're not. Don't ever allow the enemy to put a name on you that has not been assigned to you by God. Okay. So remember who you are. Also, remember the promises of God. How can you get the promise if you don't know what the promise is? So you have to remember God's promises. The only way to remember God's promises is to get in God's word. Amen. You cannot have a thing unless you know the thing that is before you. God has blessed you, but if you don't know what the blessing is, it'll pass right in front of you and you'll miss out on it. 6'2", dark chocolate, just walk right on past. You just she be brick, built like a brick house. Mighty, mighty. Hopefully she ain't letting it all hang out. I'm just saying, you know, saving some like Victoria's Secret. I mean, you know, keeping a secret until the day you... Y'all quiet up in here. But if you didn't know the blessing that God has for you, it'll pass right before you. If the Bible tells you that healing is the children's bread, like my brother Robert, he knew that God would heal him, but if he didn't know the word, then that word of healing would have passed right. And he would have missed out on healing. If you didn't know provision was made for your life, provision will be right there at your doorstep knocking and you won't even answer. You got to remember the promises of God. You also have to remember that your place does not determine your position. That the place that you're in doesn't determine your position. Hallelujah. You also have to remember whose you are. You belong to God. Can I get a better amen than that? Here it is. A culture without purpose or identity is destined to be extinct. We're about to get to the word, I promise you. A culture without identity and without a purpose is destined to be extinct. You have to know your identity in God. And when you know your identity, God will assign you or he would inform you of your purpose. In short, culture consists of beliefs, values, and behaviors that are specific and unique to a group of people. God has a kingdom culture that he's establishing in the earth realm. And that kingdom has a certain look. And it's not a suit and a tie. It's not a long dress. It is none of those things. It's not lacking of makeup or anything. Culture of the kingdom has a certain look to it. It has a sound. It has its own dialect. Has its own vocabulary. Amen. You can always recognize a kingdom citizen. They have a certain swag about them. Have a certain tone about their conversation. You can recognize a kingdom citizen. How do I know? Because Peter denied Christ 3 times. And as he's following Christ from a far off distance, he's not even with Christ, but following him from a far off distance. Somebody walks up to him, elder, and says, Peter, your speech betrays you. Just the sound of his voice identified who he'd been hanging out with. Can I ask you something today? Can people identify you by your speech? Do they know who you've been hanging out with? Okay, all right. Amen. Culture is expression of a unique beliefs, values of a group of people. A kingdom culture is a lifestyle which clearly demonstrates that we're living under the king's dominion. That we're clearly under the king's dominion. So here it is. Let's go. The culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom, number one, is prayer. Recap. Number two is purpose. Number three is righteousness. Number four is influence, integrity, sacrifice, prosperity, and lastly, praise. These are things identifying demarcations of a kingdom citizen. This is how the culture of the kingdom operates. Somebody who knows how to pray. We're going to talk about prayer today. Hallelujah. Because that is the hallmark, the staple of a kingdom culture is prayer. Because as a culture of the kingdom and kingdom citizens, we're called to invade cultures and shift the climate of that culture for kingdom's sake. That's what we're called to do. That is your purpose as a believer. Somebody shout, that's my purpose. Ask your neighbor, what's your purpose? Respond by saying, to change the atmosphere. Yeah. Everywhere you go as a kingdom citizen, you should be shifting atmospheres. Things should be shifting always around you. On your job, atmospheres. In your house, atmospheres. In the marketplace, atmosphere shift. There should be no place that you walk that the kingdom of God does not show up. I'm getting to the word, I promise you. This is just my introduction. Romans chapter number 14, verse number 17. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready for the word. Ask your neighbor, are you ready for the word? Shout back at your boy. Say, I'm ready for the word. That was three of y'all. Wake your neighbor up. Say, neighbor, wake up. It's word time. Isaiah 61, verse number 1. So we're going to Romans chapter number 14. And then Isaiah 61. When you have those two passages of scripture here at Elevate Church, we have this culture here that we stand in reverence of the reading of God's word. So if you have strength in your body and you're able to stand as we read the word of the Lord. Because, you know, John chapter number 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Verse number 14 of that same chapter said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Word. So when Jesus stands in or shows up, then we should stand up. Amen. Because if you were in a court of law and they say, all rise, the Honorable Judge Keith Reshort. And if you don't stand, they hold you in contempt of court and lock you up and fine you. So when we read the word, we stand in the word. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 61 as well as Romans. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hallelujah. Got a couple hallelujahs. If you're waiting for me to put it on the screen, say praise the Lord. Bunch of lazy folk. Good God Almighty. BYOB, bring your own Bible. Now, all the guests looking at you, man, like they don't even know the word. I mean, they don't bring their word. Amen. Got me looking bad there, Pastor Reg. They got me looking bad. Shots fired. Bop, bop. Let's go. Amen. We make our confession of faith on this morning. If you would, repeat these words after me. Today, I'll be taught the word of God. My spirit is ready. My mind is sharp. I believe the word. The word is truth and is without error. I believe what the word says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me. I am redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. No sickness nor disease shall be in my home. Say it again. No sickness nor disease shall come near my home. I'm more than a conqueror. I am rich. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Say it again. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Do me a favor, prophesy over your neighbor. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Turn to your other neighbor, they jealous. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Point to the four walls of this church. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Point to yourself. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Shout, I'm blessed to be a blessing. My house is blessed. My children are blessed. My marriage is blessed. My church is blessed. I'm blessed. Now shout amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you can. Romans chapter number 14, verse number 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hear it again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Isaiah, dance there if you would, 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. Somebody shout, I'm anointed. Here's what you're anointed to do. Anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Ooh. You got an assignment today, beloved. So hear your assignment again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom. Somebody shout freedom. Freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's, ooh, God, favor. Ooh. Favor is better than finances. Give me favor over your money any day. Because your money will run out. But favors could be unlimited. Favor is better than finances. It was the favor of the Lord that we rested on 7.5 acres, 7,500 square foot building, 250 seat sanctuary. Y'all didn't catch it. 7.5 acres. Somebody shout favor. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I declare favor over your life right now. I declare favor over your life right now. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for divine favor being released over this house. In every heart and soul that will receive, Lord, pour out divine favor within. Father, we bless you now. We thank you as we decrease in this place. Holy Spirit, have thine way in this house. Precious Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you. We adore you. Lord Jesus, we bless your holy name. And we give you the glory. It's in Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Somebody shout amen. Amen. On your way to your seat, find three people. Slap high five with them. Say it's a culture shift. It's a culture shift. It's a culture shift. I'm going to try to give you all that I have in this brief time because I don't want to belabor too long in the word of the Lord. Once upon a time, there was a young boy. His name was Johnny. Johnny was a little bad boy. Bad boy, bad boy. What you going to do? What you going to do when they come? How many of y'all saw Bad Boys yet? Two? Amen. Is it three? No, it's two, huh? Is it three? I'm just checking to see which one y'all saw. Johnny was a little bad boy, and Johnny was very blunt and brash in his statements. He would just tell people whatever came to mind. He cut no shorts in anything he did. If he didn't like what you had on, he told you boldly, that's ugly. If your hair was messed up, he'd tell you, your hair ugly, you need to comb your hair. Johnny had no cuts on anything. And one day, his mother's friend had a little baby, and the baby was born without ears, sadly. And she wanted to bring the baby by for her friend to see the baby, and they both were concerned because if they brought the baby around little Johnny, of course, Johnny would point out the obvious and he would say what he really saw. So the mother had a little conversation with Johnny and said, "Johnny, listen, Sally's coming over. She's bringing her newborn baby. I want you to be kind. Kind in your words. Be careful in how you say things. If you see something bad, say something good. Just be nice." Johnny said, "Okay, Mommy." So Sally brought the baby over and they're rocking the baby, looking at the baby. Johnny comes from upstairs. He looks at the baby and he sees that the baby doesn't have any ears. And boy, this was getting to Johnny because he just really wanted to say something. It was eating him up on the inside. So the mother looked at Johnny. She knew Johnny was struggling. She said, "Johnny, what do you think about the baby? Be nice." Johnny said, "Ooh, the baby got pretty hair." Said, "Great." And Johnny was like, said, "Johnny, what else do you see about the baby?" "Ooh, the baby got soft skin." Mom said, "Okay, Johnny, that's good." He said, but Mama," she said, "Oh Lord, here it comes." He said, but Mama, there's something else about the baby." She said, "What is it, Johnny?" Begrudgingly, she said, "The baby has pretty eyes too." She said, "Oh, that's nice, Johnny." She was like, phew. She said, and I hope they're good eyes." And the mama said, "Well, why do you hope they're good eyes, Johnny?" Says, "Because if the baby had to wear glasses, then he won't have no ears to hold them up." You know, sometimes in life, we've got to be careful on how we use our words. Because if we use them in the wrong way, even in the right manner, sometimes it'll mess people up. Tell your neighbor, be careful your words. Sometimes the obvious thing doesn't always obviously need to be pointed out. Just because you see fault don't mean that you have to echo the fault in the earth realm. Just because you see error, maybe God hasn't chosen you to speak on the error. Because we all got a part to play. Y'all quiet up in this place. See, the first thing we want to do is get on Facebook and point out everything we saw and name everybody who we saw it with. Maybe God showed you so you can get on your knees and pray. Because the Bible says God's eyes is going to and fro the earth, that he'll find just one who would pray, somebody who would intercede. And it may not be your assignment at that moment for you to say nothing but to say something unto God. Somebody shout, prayer has purpose. And then watch, even in prayer, it's not even for you to call and say, "Girl, we need to pray for pastor. You know he..." No, you're gossiping. "We need to pray for Sister Molly Leanne Jarvis because she's going through it right now." What's she going through, girl? You gossiping. Okay. We're talking about prayer. It's one thing that the disciples asked of Jesus, of everything that they saw in 3.5 years of training, ministry training with Jesus, in 3.5 years that they have been with Jesus. Guess what, y'all? There was only one thing that they questioned him about teaching. And that was, "Teach us how to pray." They didn't ask, "Teach us how to raise the dead." They didn't ask Jesus, "Teach us how to pray in tongues." They didn't ask us, "Jesus, how to multiply the fish in 5 loaves. They didn't say, "Jesus, where's the hot spot in the river that we can catch a multitude of fish?" They only asked for one thing. "Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because you have been modeling this thing of prayer before us. After every miracle, you would go off and you would get with the Father and you would pray. You would wake up in the morning, you would go and pray. In the cool of the day, you would go and pray. In the middle of the night, you would get up and pray. Can you pray but for 1 hour is what Jesus asked?" And they said, "Well, golly, if we're going to pray an hour, then teach us how to pray then. If this is what you're requiring of us, then we need to know how to pray." And boy, it's a sad thing because the church don't know how to pray. the main catalyst that God has released into the earth realm, and we don't know how to pray. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. There's a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say," here it is, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive." Oh my God. See, that's why we don't know how to pray, because we really don't want to pray this part. We want our sins forgiven, but we don't want to forgive those who sin against us. We want coverage for our failures, but expose the failures of others. We want you to say, Lord, forgive me. And we want to say you are forgiven, but we can't say I forgive you of your faults. See, prayer is so powerful because prayer not only alters your situation, which I'll tell you in a second, but if it doesn't alter your situation, it will alter you. It will alter your perspective. Prayer is so powerful because if it don't change things around you, prayer will change things in you. And as you're praying, that's why the Bible says pray for your enemy. As you're praying for your enemy may not change, but you will end up changing. See, God. And it says, "Forgive everyone who sins against us and lead us not into," not the temptations and the five heartbeats, but "lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you," here it is, y'all hear all of this, please stay with me. "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on his journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.'" Verse number 8 says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need." Somebody shout, "I'm getting all that I need." "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you will give him a scorpion?" This is the power of prayer. Prayer is a communication with heaven. So today, real briefly, I want to talk to you about this culture shift, heaven's response to prayer. Tell your neighbor, heaven has a response to your prayer. There's a response that heaven makes. And the only way heaven can make this response is for you to initiate a conversation with God. Prayer is a communication between you and God. Prayer is a connection between you and God. So watch. Don't read into the word. Read out of the word. So often as we're reading even this passage of scripture, we're reading into the word. And God never called you to read into the word. He called you to read out of the word. Because when you read into the word, you put your own expressions, your own experiences, your own opinions. Y'all quiet in this Pentecostal church. But God says, "I want you to read out of the word." In other words, I want you to extrapolate wisdom and revelation and knowledge. I want you to pull out of the word and not put into the word. Yeah. Y'all quiet. So God wants you to pull out revelation. And that's what communication with God is. God begins to reveal some concealed things through prayer. That's the power of prayer, is that God will give you revelation. He'll reveal the things that you're reading. He'll reveal. But if you put your own opinion in there, you'll cause what to be revealed to be concealed. Because God says, I don't need to speak because you're too smart for me anyway. I don't need to say nothing to you. You know everything already. You done read the Greek and the Hebrew and all the commentaries. You already know this thing. So I'm not going to show you nothing. I'm just going to sit here and just listen. Listen, Linda, listen. And, you know, watch this. That's how typically prayer starts. Prayer that we engage with God. Prayer typically starts with us telling God all of our problems, our situations and our concerns, and we bog God down with all of our issues and our matters, and God's like, yeah, you done yet? You finished yet? Have you forgotten? I am Alpha and Omega. Did you not know that I am the beginning and the end, but you have just limited me to the beginning of things and at the end of things, but I am the God of all things, so therefore I'm the God of the middle as well. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. If I wrote the story, I know the story. If I started the story, I can end the story, but I also can take you all the way through the story. So I knew your problem before you ever had a problem. Matter of fact, I knew you were going to be a problem before you became a problem. I knew it was going to be a hot mess. I knew you were going to be a Johnny Bad Boy. I knew you was going to be one that lied and stole and cheated and do all. I knew you were going to be the one who was very promiscuous and you. Oh, y'all quiet. I knew you while you were yet in your mother's. I knew you before the foundations of the earth was. I knew you. So why are you coming to me telling me about all of your problems? I know your problems. And if you would shut up for a minute, I'll tell you the answer. And if you will forgive me an edgewise, have you ever talked to somebody where you couldn't get a word in? You're trying to say something, they just keep going on. Yeah, bad, 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 bad. You're like, Lord, can I say something? And before you know it, 30 minutes passed by, you ain't said a word. And they ask you what you think. Well, I wanted to tell you a long time ago, but you wouldn't shut up. And you know how it is. You wait for that pause where they go, and the moment you go, oh, blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you now. Decline. You know those people that just call you when they got issues? And they always seem to have issues. They have so many issues, their issues need tissues. You know, every time they got on the phone, girl, I'm going through it again. I'm struggling yet again. Things are rough yet again. You know they laying folk off on my job. And listen, your name not even on the list. But they, you know they laying folk off the job, so who cares? Your name ain't on the list. Bless the wonderful name of the Lord. And if he closes that door, expect another door to open. I told you weeks ago, I taught you drainers, maintainers, and propellers. That's some people that just come in life. They just come to drain you, to suck the oil out of you. That's all they want to do is just burn your ears off, tell you all their problems and their issues. And now they done pulled the plug on your oil pan and oil is leaking out and you got nothing left for yourself. You know you drive a car long enough without oil, you'll blow the engine. Some of y'all are blown up right now. You dead man walking. You empty. Just a bunch of dead bones walking on stilts. Why? Because somebody came and they drained you with all their problems. And then we need to communicate with God. Why? So we can get filled back up. Matthew's account of this very same issue with prayer goes after, like this. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Somebody shout, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That God, when I pray this way. God, hallowed be thy name. I have to identify him. I have to make a distinction that something's different about this Father. Paul goes on in Corinthians and later on, he talks about having a father and having many fathers, but he's only one father in the faith. He's talking to Timothy, but he makes a distinction because there are spiritual fathers that will come into your life and it will help you birth some spiritual things in your life. There are some spiritual mothers who will come into your life and they'll be like midwives to help you push some things out. But there's a distinction between your heavenly father, your biological father, and your spiritual father. And he said when you pray this way, make sure you distinctly define me from everybody else. I'm not like your biological father who left you forsake you. I'm not like your biological father, who was only a weekend father, who came around only when it was convenient for him. I am not like your biological father, who only showed up because you have acclaimed some things in life and you're now a star athlete, or you got some award, or you won the lottery or something like that. I am not him. I am not even like your spiritual father, who has limitations on his life. He has his own family to deal with. He has a whole nother congregation of folk that he got to deal with. Sometimes he's just not available. Y'all quiet. Because y'all think spiritual fathers are supermen. That their phone should be on 24/7. That they shouldn't have issues. They shouldn't have their own things that they're going through. That I got to reach my pastor. Moses, don't you know you're killing yourself? I'm preaching to myself right now. Moses, delegate these tasks to other men who are good character, good report, men who have your spirit, so that you can sit and just take care of the major things, let them handle the minor things. That's the word of the Lord. So there's some minor things, watch this, that apostle just can't deal with. You know why? Because it's some major stuff I got to deal with. That there's some minor things that I just can't focus on. I'm sorry, I love you with all my heart, but my heart is only large enough for the things that God has placed in it. And if you're adding on to that, then I have a heavy load and a burden that I'm carrying that's far too great. And now you have such a high expectation of me that I cannot reach. And now you're mad at me because I'm doing God's will. And you're one out of many. And I want to get to you, just can't, I don't have time right now. Got me playing double dutch with you. And the moment you get tripped up on the rope, see, Pastor, that's your fault. You're supposed to. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Watch this, in earth as it is in heaven. He says, when you pray, pray this way, not your will, but the will that's taking place in heaven. When you pray, don't pray, Father, if it's your will. Okay, I want to help the whole old school saints out right now. You know, if it's the Lord's will, well, if you read his word, then you would know his will. And if his will, then it will be fulfilled. Y'all quiet up in this place. If you know his word is his will. And if he says it in his word that he will, then whatever he wills, he shall fulfill. So I ain't no need in saying if it's the Lord's will. Lord, I heard your will. I read your will. I believe your will. And if you said it so, God, I believe it. I don't need if it's the Lord's will. I'll see you on Sunday if it's the Lord's will. You coming? If it's the Lord's will. It is his will. Forsake not the assembly of the believers. It's his will for you to show up. It's his will. You know, we say that stuff as a convenient measure of saying I really don't want to come. I'm exposing some folk today. You know, I'll show up if it's the Lord's will. Lord, they got something else going on at the church. Let me find something else to do. You know how we do. If it's the Lord's will. Tell you, maybe it is his will. So when you pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. He will provide for you every day. Can you say amen to that? And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine, this is the old school Baptist. Here, you got to get back and sway back. For thine. Here's the kingdom. That was good to my soul. For thine. That's when you're going in right there. Come on, just read the text. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from thy evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So when you pray that way. The kingdom of God was designed to communicate with its citizens. Hear me, beloved, write that down. The kingdom of God was designed to communicate with its citizens. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And God created his kingdom, watch, to communicate with you. Heaven wants to hear from you. Good God Almighty. Heaven wants to hear from you. God designed the kingdom of God so that there could be a two-way communication between you and him. Heaven wants to hear your voice. Adam, in the cool of the day, walking around after he had fallen, sinned, got fig leaves on. He thought he was making FUBU and Versace with them fig leaves. Try to make his own. God says, I'm going to give you some designer clothes. You know you were designed already by God? That while you were in the garden naked, God said, that was his fashion statement to the world. Good God Almighty. That was his designer brand placed on you. That's why he said, be good with the skin you're in. Because you were beautifully and wonderfully made. Because he put a designer brand on you that no designer in this world can outmatch. That's why you ain't got to alter your body. You ain't got to add a little here, take away there. No. God says you're beautifully and wonderfully made. I have put my stamp on you. Good God Almighty. Glory. The women look at them and, I'm going to give me a tuck. Some here, some there. But God created, when Adam was in the cool of the day of the garden, watch this, the Bible said that the voice of God was walking in the garden. Did you know that God's voice have legs? Did you know that your voice have legs? That the moment you open up your mouth, your words will travel. That's why you got to be careful with your words. Because eventually they'll travel somewhere that you never intended them to travel. Eventually, they'll do some things you never intended them to do. And your words will go out of your mouth, and it'll take you on a journey. Good God Almighty. And it'll lead you, guide you, and direct you. It'll take you someplace, and you'll find yourself in somebody's house with somebody's wife. It'll find you taking somebody's stuff. Why? Because your words went out there. I'm broke. Hey, man, you know, we could rob this dude down the street, you know. Your words done took you somewhere. And heaven was designed, the kingdom of God was designed to communicate with the citizens. If prayer doesn't change your situation, it will change your perspective of your situation. God says, I want you to pray my will. And if you can't catch my will, then I'm going to change your perspective. If things don't shift, then I'm shifting you. You're going to see it differently. You're going to see it differently. Okay, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Good God Almighty, you know there's a whole lot of fighting going on in the church. Oh, Lord. So as kingdom citizens, we shouldn't be fighting one another. If you got strife against your brother, then somebody's outside of the kingdom. Ask your neighbor, is it you? Ask your other neighbor, is it you? Because one of us outside the kingdom. Because if you got strife with me and I'm fighting with you, then somebody out the kingdom. Because God's kingdom, there is no fighting within his kingdom. So somebody done stepped out of the bounds and the realm and the arena of the kingdom of God. And now you're not in the kingdom of light, but you're in the kingdom of darkness. And you don't even know it. You still in time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No. You're an imposter. Listen, y'all know I'm old school. I'm from Scotland, too. And I cut, I fight. I mean, come on, y'all. We get it on up in. I'm telling you, listen, here's the thing. If you're fighting in the kingdom against one another, y'all can charge this platform if you want. Some of y'all mad at me right now because I'm telling on you. Amen. The kingdom of God, there is no strife. Matter of fact, the Bible says if you have an issue with your brother before you take him to the judge, settle it before you get there. Before you sue a brother, try to settle it with the brother. I'm talking about a brother now, you know, because I'll call Morris Barton a heartbeat. If you ain't saved, I'm going to get that money. I'm sorry, y'all. But you a brother, I'm going to, hey, man, let's work this thing out. But you a heathen, oh, we going to see Judge Judy. Oh, it's on and popping up in here, up in here. Heaven has a response to prayer. I'm going to close on this note. Discovering the power of prayer. Here it is. There's the third aspect of prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus saw very fitly. He said, when you pray, pray this way. There are many aspects of prayer, but he says this one thing, which is the third aspect of the Father's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer. He says, pray that the kingdom of God come and his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. See, we have read the modern transliterations and transliterated text that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But God never designed, or nor did he desire, for his will to be done on you. He desires for his will to be done in you. Good God Almighty. God wants his will fulfilled in your life, not on your life. And we have taken that in the literal sense of saying, God, let your will be done. So the moment his will is done on you, we transform into something else. Why? Because if he can put his will on you, somebody can take his will off of you. If I can convince you to come to church, somebody convince you not to go to church. If I can convince you that smoking is bad for your life, somebody can convince you that it's okay. Them folk don't know what they're talking about. I've been smoking all my life. I'm 80 years old. Because if a person convinces you, then somebody can convince you not to. And God says, I don't want my will to be on your life. I want my will to be fulfilled in your life. Because if I can get in you, then if I can get in you, anything out of you. Boy, that was good to my soul right there. I take a victory lap by myself. He says, if I can get in, and whatever's in, I can get out. But I need to first get in. And if you let me in, then whatever is in that is not of me, like me, if there's something that I don't agree with, once I'm in the house, I can clean the house out. See, that's why, hear me, church, that's why we need to keep the doors open of the church. So when people come in with all their bad, evil, wicked ways, they come in with the way they dress, all of that, leave the door open, because we open now a move of the Spirit of God to come into their life. So now we can get the junk out of their life. But it's not our job to be a Holy Ghost patrol and tell people what they should wear and what they shouldn't wear, what they should do and what they shouldn't do. God, that's all I need to tell you. Just keep coming to the house of God. Just keep coming. Well, I got saved last week. Come on back again. Baby, I gave my life last week. Come on back again. I gave my heart to Jesus. Give it again. Because the more you come and the more he gets in, the more he gonna get out. That's this old school word called sanctification. It's called a process. And the moment you learn how to communicate with God, God says, listen, you know what you're doing ain't right. Yeah, you know, I know, Lord. It's called conviction. It's called keep on coming. And as you're praying, communicate with heaven, the steps of the right, you become righteous. And he begins to audio step. You be wanting to go this way, and the Holy Ghost say, nope. You end up going back this way. You, as you communicate with heaven, God will say, go left, even when you want to go right. It is two-way communication. Heaven was designed to talk to you, not just for you to talk to it. And as he's talking to you, he's going to tell you some stuff about you. Some stuff your neighbor on the left and the right don't know about you. Some stuff that's hidden deep in the annals of your heart. That deep dark place where there's no light shining that nobody know about. That molestation that took place when you were 3 years old and it reoccurred. As I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. And it happened yet again and again and again. You told nobody about it, but God knew about it. And now, because of that experience, now has you walking out in new experiences in life. Got you living outside of the creation of God created you to be. Now you're living a life not like God intended for you to live. You're living a life based upon your own experiences. You're living your life based upon what you went through, not what he's taking you to. Daddy was a whoremonger, so now you're a whoremonger. You saw Daddy bring all the women in the house. Now you think that's the life you're supposed to live.
You saw mama bring Uncle Johnny. He really wasn't your uncle. He's just in town for the weekend. But mama, why he sleeping in your bedroom? Well, we ain't got enough room in the house. He can sleep on the couch. It ain't really Uncle Johnny. So you're seeing mama go through this whole little cycle, giving herself to different men. And when you talk to heaven, heaven will come and give you an identity, give you purpose, give you value, give you worth. When God speaks to you, he don't speak to you where you are. He speaks to you to where he created you to be. Yeah. You look, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. He said, yeah, but I created you to be somebody. But God, look where I'm at. I'm not talking about where you're at. I'm talking about where I see you going. I'm speaking to your future, not your present. I'm speaking to your purpose, not your present state. Well, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe there are. But I'm anointing you to be king, Saul. You head and shoulders above everybody, and you worried about your stature? I'm not speaking where you are, Gideon hiding behind a wine press, a coward. And the Spirit of the Lord comes and says, you mighty man of valor. Man of war. Hiding. God never speaks to your present. He always speaks to your future purpose. And that's what heaven will do. It'll call you out of the abyss of darkness and pull you into the marvelous light. Instead of, in spite of your skill set, your abilities, your talents, your dysfunctions, your insufficiencies, your inadequacies, your idiosyncrasies, all of that stuff. Them big words. And you'll be looking around and say, well, I dropped out of high school, but I'm calling you to be an entrepreneur of a Fortune 500 company. Communication with heaven. It says, not your will. Let my will be fulfilled in your life. Watch, hear me, because his will is far bigger than you. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As it is. Thy kingdom come. You're trying to get to heaven. Heaven is trying to get to earth. You're trying to get to where God is. God says, I'm trying to get to where you are. You're trying to get in glory. God says, I have placed my glory upon your life. I don't need you up here. I need you operating down here because my kingdom is coming. And I need some kingdom ambassadors. I need some kingdom citizens that will function and operate, that will look like and move like, that will talk like and sound like, that will walk like the kingdom of God. I am calling my kingdom down to the earth. I need my will fulfilled in your life. I ain't worried about the law of man. I'm trying to transform the heart of man. Because if I can get in your heart, I can change the land. I need some kingdom ambassadors. But we got to talk about it. Old school R&B, come and talk to me. Really? God says, come and talk to me. I want to talk to you. Because when you talk to me, I'm giving you strategies, plans, wisdom, insight, revelation. When you talk to me, I'm showing you things that are not seen. I'm letting you hear words that are not heard. I'm letting you perceive things to come that are not. But it happens with a conversation. You talk to your neighbor and your girlfriends more than you talk to God. You communicate with people more than you communicate with the Creator. Got friends on speed dial. When the last time you talked to God? Now watch. Well, I talked to him this morning. No, you talked to him. But when's the last time you gave him space to talk to you? Because I don't want to talk with nobody that I can't get a word in. I'm just telling on myself right now. If you get a lot of blocks when you call my number, it's a clear sign that you're talking too much. If I can't get a word in, what's the point of having a conversation with? Text me, baby. I'll read it later. But if you ain't going to let me say something, especially if you're calling for godly wisdom and advice, and you won't hear what God has to say to you through me, block. Hey, God. Oh, we getting real up in this church. This is the kingdom of God. It's communication. And communication is a two-way street. That's why God gave you bigger ears than your mouth. That's why God gave you two of these and one of these. So in other words, you should speak less and hear more. God says, I want to communicate with you. The power of prayer is God divinely releasing his manifest glory in your life. Communication with God through prayer is God divinely rejuvenating you. Yea, I say empowering you to do things that you never could do. Prayer is powerful. But it's only as powerful as you allow it to be. Because if prayer is only you talking to God, then you missing the manifestation of God. I'm done. Third aspect of prayer. The kingdom of God comes to give you life. And out of that life, God's identity, God's holiness, and his agenda is revealed in your life. I want you to stand to your feet at this moment. Because we're about to petition heaven. We're about to petition heaven. I'm going to be honest with you and transparent. I'm about to pray that your life be radically transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been operating in this office, that office. How long you've been prophesying. How long you've been teaching, preaching. I don't care how long you've been running your church, not running a church, desiring a church. I don't care. I'm praying right now that your life be radically transformed. For what purpose? That the kingdom of God will be made manifest and made known unto men. For this purpose, that the captive would be set free, that the blinded eye would open, that the deaf would hear, and the lame will walk, the mute will talk. For this purpose, that the kingdom of God be glorified. Not you, but the kingdom of God. Can I say this, what dropped in my spirit? Don't get intoxicated by your own accolades of yourself. I'm trying to say it, Holy Spirit. It didn't come out. Let me say it again. Don't get intoxicated by your own words of adorations towards yourself. Some of us are drunk on our own words that when we speak of ourselves. And God says, I want my word to be made known bigger than you. So I'm about to petition that heaven would transform your life, would invade your life, and shift your life like never before. And it's at that moment when you feel the kingdom shifting your heart, tweaking your heart, I want you to flood this altar. Because this part right here is not about your salvation. Hear me first. Hear me. This is not about your salvation. This is about the kingdom of God coming in. Because when the King of Glory steps in, everything that is within comes out. So I'm going to deal with you from a kingdom perspective first. And then when the King of Glory steps in, then your salvation is going to be walked out. Yeah, I know you never heard an altar call like that. Bow your heads, lift your hands. Heavenly Father, right now, by divine move of your Holy Spirit, for your word declares, none come lest the Spirit of God draws them. And Father, I pray now that you would draw each and every heart of every hand that is lifted in this place, that you would invade their hearts right now, that you would radically transform them from the inside out, God. We've been calling people to the altar to change their lives, but nothing on the inside has changed. So today, Father, we're stepping in, Lord God. So whatever is in will come out, Lord God. We're stepping in the Holy Ghost, oh God, coming into their lives, transforming, Lord God, changing, Lord God, shifting, Lord God, everything within. Father, you work out as your word has declared. Let them walk out their own soul's salvation. But today, oh God, let heaven invade their hearts. Shift it now. Shift it now, Father. Shift every heart now. Now you know you better than anybody in this place. There's a divine shifting happening in your heart right now. Meet me at this altar. Move now. Come on. Divine shift happening right now. Divine shift happening right now. Divine shift. Step out and meet me down here. God is doing a work in your life now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, encourage them as they're coming. Encourage them as they're coming. Encourage them as they're coming. Transformation is taking place. Shifting is taking place. It's happening now.